Well, good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome to Unity Center of Light, another service from our home to your home, which we look forward to bringing to you. I'm Reverend Millage Mosby.
And I'm Pam Mosby.
And just to remind you that right after this service, we have a Zoom fellowship. If you have not joined us in Zoom fellowship, please do. It's where you get a chance to hear some great music, great discussion, and you get to see your Unity family. So please do join us in Zoom. You can find the links to it in both the e-newsletter that came out this week and the weekly update. So we'll get started with Pamela.
Thank you. Good morning, and welcome to the Unity Center of Light, a spiritual community that nurtures the growth of all who are seeking to develop the potential of their spirit, mind, and body. Please join me as we affirm our mission and foundation statements together. Let's begin with the mission statement. The mission of Unity Center of Light is to empower individuals to express their indwelling divine potential. We teach there is a power within each of us far greater than anything that exists outside of us. Now let's affirm our foundation statement. Together, there is only one power and one presence active in my life and affairs, God the Good, Omnipotent. Amen. And now we will have the daily word reading for today, Sunday, February the 21st. Key words, let go, let God. Affirmation, I do what is mine to do and release the rest. Over the years, I have accepted more and more responsibility as I have grown in maturity and experience. I've also grown in wisdom as I am able to discern what is mine to do. I have learned what to take on and what to leave for others. I have also learned not to exhaust myself by taking on too many commitments. Perhaps most important, I know when to use my will and determination to make things happen and when to let go. I recall times in my life when I felt frustrated that events did not unfold the way I had imagined. I can now see how they unfolded perfectly, often in ways better than I could ever imagine. I now let go easily, trusting in that perfection. And the scripture is Acts 17:28. In him we live and move and have our being. As even some of your poets have said, for we too are his offspring. Amen. And we'll now have the message with Reverend Butch.
Thanks, hon. So we are beginning the Lent. Actually, Lent started on Ash Wednesday, which was February the 17th. And the talk today is Release and Renew, Spiritual Practice for Lent 2021. And this is part one. So, you know, as I've said before, you know, we are in the process of awakening, and we awaken layer by layer. And I keep emphasizing that because we don't want to get stuck at a layer. In other words, as we keep practicing these spiritual ideas, we usually find our lives becoming more full of faith and joy and happiness. And we don't want to get caught at any layer that's going to, you know, just cause us to become sort of, you know, satisfied with what we are, because there is so much more. There's so many more layers we have to go through. As one Unity minister put it in the Lent booklet, and she said that we are striving for layers of awakening, and then we will get to a place where we'll be looking for enlightenment, all right? And we're kind of going to talk about that a little bit in this talk. So, you know, just keep thinking about that, that we're always looking for the next inspiration that's going to take us to the next level of awakening. And, you know, this is a time to consciously practice releasing and letting go of those mental, emotional thoughts and feelings that are keeping us from being reborn and being renewed into this higher level of awareness I'm talking about, this higher level awareness of the activity of God in our body, mind, life, and affairs. And the typical tool we use during Lent to achieve our spiritual goals are fasting, prayer, and repentance, for the purpose of freeing us from those old addictive habits and negative thoughts and behaviors. And, you know, this Lenten practice of releasing aspects of the old self for the purpose of renewal is development of our mental, emotional state that will help us to not return to the old ways of being. And, you know, you hear me say every single year that this is not about you know, used to be about, I mean, back in the day, and I'm sure a lot of people still do it, of giving up something physical, you know, sugar or, you know, whatever, for a period of time, knowing that you're going to go right back to it when this period is over. But we're not looking for that. What we're looking for is to develop the mental, emotional state of mind that will not return to the old ways of being. So it's a time to allow your light of divine love and spiritual understanding to shine through you and into the lives of others, you know. And these are the common mental thoughts about Lent that, you know, Unity talks about. And what we're going to explore in this and the upcoming Lenten lessons is some of the ways we can fine-tune our spiritual quest by seeking to understand a little better how our common, everyday, haphazard thought process sabotages our spiritual growth and keeps us from awakening to who we really are. And just to give you an idea, this is what the theme book looks like, Release and Renew, a spiritual process for the spiritual Lent for 2021. You can get that booklet, the spiritual practices for Lent 2021, and you can get that booklet from the weekly newsletter, that e-newsletter that comes out from April, or the weekly update that comes out from Patty. And they'll show you how you actually can download and have that to read and study. So the focus is to develop the willingness on our part. The focus of this whole Lent process is to develop the willingness on our part to be open and receptive to an inner guidance that transcends our own perception about our life, and an inner guidance that's continuously calling us to awaken, an inner guidance that's constantly calling us to awaken to a deeper, more profound understanding of who we really are and the powerful healing power of love that we have or are capable of expressing, right? Now, I want you to listen to this poem that's going to be narrated by Pamela.
Listen, my beloved, I am calling you. Do you hear me? I am calling you to come higher. I am urging you ever onward and upward in your understanding and in your relationship with me. I am calling you as you sit in the stillness of prayer and when you are working, resting, or playing. When you listen, you will hear me. You will hear me in the voice of a loved one, in the laughter of a child, in the tears of one who is grieving. I am the rustling of leaves in the breeze, the glory of the setting sun, the mystery of the stars. What are you seeking? Happiness? Peace? Health? Joy? What will satisfy your soul? Ask, seek, find. Look for your good in my love, my life, my abundance. I am the answer to each question of your heart. I am the fulfillment of your dreams. I am calling you. Come to me, my beloved.
Thank you, hon. Yeah, I thought that she gave a really, you know, beautiful energy to that. So that's why I wanted her to read that. And, you know, we have quoted many times a scripture written by Matthew 22:14, for many are called, but few are chosen. And we, you know, reinterpreted that, the verse, to mean that many are called, but few choose. So the idea being that God is constantly calling us and choosing us to partake of the abundance of joy and love that exists in the universe as our potential waiting to be activated. All right. And that's kind of a really a powerful thought to think about right now, because there is so much going on in the world right now and in our country that, you know, you think about this idea of our potential waiting to be activated. And it seems like we're more in a survival mode than in a mode of activating our spiritual potential. But the key here is that no matter what the dynamics are, we still have the ability to activate our divine potential. Okay, remember, there is a power within us that is far greater than anything that exists outside of us. And so that mission statement of Unity Center Light is something we always want to keep in our minds when things seem to become overwhelming. Right? And there is no time or circumstance in which you would not, be chosen by God. There is no time when you will not be chosen by God. You will always be chosen by God, okay? And we all know the verse in Matthew 5:45, God makes the sun shine on the evil and on the good and sends rain on the just and the unjust. Or as it's written in the Message Bible, which kind of breaks it down a little bit more, it says, God gives us his best, the sun to warm and the rain to nourish, to everyone, regardless of whether you are good or otherwise. So if this verse, rules out God not choosing us, this verse rules out God not choosing us, then in our time of need, it is we who are not choosing God, okay? That's a hard thought to swallow, because being on the spiritual path, we believe we're always choosing God. Okay, we're always sending our prayers and affirmations. We believe we're always choosing God. But that is the reason for the prayer, reveal in me that which needs to be revealed. Okay, because as we learned in the study of the habitual constructs, we're not always aware of the things we think and do that may be frustrating our divine or spiritual connection. That's the key to that prayer. Reveal in me that which needs to be revealed. What is going on in my subconscious realm of mind that might be frustrating my spiritual process, and I really am not aware of it? So, in addition, it could be that we do not really understand how the process of choosing God actually works. How do I choose God? Okay. So as the poem expressed that Pam just read, it said, listen, my beloved, I am calling you. Do you hear me? And, all right. So words such as these send us into a mental quandary, wondering, how do I hear God calling me? How do I choose God over what I'm thinking about, worrying about, fearing in terms of what is occurring in my life or what's occurring in the world? Okay. So many folks I'm talking to lately are saying, so many things are happening that after a while it causes you to kind of shudder inside. It's sort of an inner puzzlement. There was a word that my brother used.
Consternation.
Yeah, he used it like consternation within us, that there's so much in our life that we have to deal with. But again, let's get back to the basics. There's a power within us that's far greater than anything that exists outside of us. Now, Rabbi Zalman, Z-A-L-M-A-N, Rabbi Zalman, if you look him up on YouTube, you'll see a lot of great YouTubes on him. And he's one of the founders of the Jewish Renewal Movement, and he shares his experience in answering this question, how do I know when God is speaking to me? Okay, and he said, it is not necessary for God to move air against my eardrum. In other words, it's not something one hears like we hear each other. Rabbi Zalman says it is hard to explain because we have good reason words, right? We have good reason words. I'm feeling this way because of and we give a reason. Or this is happening to me because we give a reason. So we have good reason words. But he says we hardly have any intuition words. So if someone asks, how do you know that it is God speaking to you? Since it is an intuitive experience, you typically have no intuitive words to explain the experience. Okay? So the word intuitive means immediate cognition. It is when you mentally get a sense of something that you could not have reached by your own intellect, by your own reasoning. It came to you and it really transcends your own reasoning. So intuition is something that is impressed upon you. And everyone in this room, everyone listening to this on the internet, I said room, thinking I'm in church, but everybody in listening to this on the internet and in the Zoom session has had many intuitive moments, moments when some thought or idea was impressed upon you. And when asked about it, the only answer you could give is, I don't know how I know. It just came to me. Okay. And if we were in a session now, I'd ask everybody to raise their hand and say, who has had that experience? All right. Now, as Rabbi Zalman says, we cling to reason words because it gives us an out, a justification or rationalization that others can relate to. So when I'm going through something, if I give you the reason why I'm going through it, you can understand that, okay? Because you probably have similar experiences in your own life where those reason words would fit. So why do we choose the reasoning of our ego mind over the intuition of our spiritual mind? And maybe because it is so much more, you know, eloquent, you know, when we describe what we're going through, it's so much more eloquent, so flamboyant, so colorful and convincing as compared to intuition words, all right? So whereas intuition just is, with no words that can, you know, really explain why, you know, reasoning, we usually jump to that because it's just so much easier to justify, rationalize what's going on in our lives, okay? So Joan Borschenko, author of the book Your Soul's Compass, says evaluating life according to external success is a peculiar Western materialistic preoccupation. Okay, so when we want to say God is good to us, we're usually saying God is good because we got the car we wanted, we got the job we wanted, we got the money we wanted, we got something we wanted. It was something materialistic, external success. And she said that's a particular Western materialistic preoccupation. Now, we evaluate, you know, our life by the things, the materialistic things that we get. So in other words, we feel we need eloquent words and mannerisms to express our feelings and emotions in a way that mesmerizes the listener, you know. And mesmerizes could be, you know, the joy that you just got something you want. Or we could also mesmerize with some of the challenges we're going through, okay. But those reasoning words for us are so much more powerful, and we can conjure them up much better than we can intuition words. But trying to explain an inner story of spiritual transformation, of how you have been touched by the grace of God, or how you have felt God moving in the circumstances and situations in your life. As Dr. Borschenko says, this is life's artistry, okay? She said it's life's artistry when God is moving in your life, all right? And meaning it is spirit painting some experience, some guidance into your consciousness that is beyond explanation. And I think I've asked you this before. How many of you have seen the Grand Canyon? Okay, I can remember, I think Pam and I have been there twice. Mm-hmm. You know, and I can remember the first time we saw it, I had my camera, you know, wanted to take a picture, but I was so blown away by it that I couldn't even raise my camera up to take a picture. You know, can you explain to someone who hasn't seen, you know, the Grand Canyon, what the experience is like, right? And this is similar to trying to explain to someone what you are feeling as God paints a new direction for your life into your mind and into your heart. And often you can't say much more than, it's just a feeling I have that this is right, you know, that something good is happening. Even if it is scary, you know, meaning that it's moving you out of your comfort zone, you feel it is right even if it's scary, right? And you've heard the saying, God just, you know, people say, I don't know, God just laid it on my heart. And you probably said that yourself. You ever said that, you know, something great happened or you got this thought or something you want to do? And somebody says, why are you doing this? I don't know. It's just like God just laid it on my heart. All right. So how do you know when it is God painting the picture in your mind and not your ego? All right. It is when the colors in the spiritual palette are made up of faith and love and understanding and joy and forgiveness and compassion and kindness and patience and wisdom and strength and courage. Those are the colors on God's palette, okay? So when God is painting that picture in your mind, those are the paints that's being used. Those are the colors that are being used. And just think about how you communicate with others during times of stress, you know, or how you communicate with yourself when you're absorbed in your own thoughts about the challenges in your life. What pictures do you paint? And what colors are the emotions you use to paint those pictures, all right? Ask yourself, am I using the colors on the palette of fear, or am I choosing the colors from the palette of faith? Okay? Because we are going to paint those pictures, and it's just a matter of where you're getting those colors from. All right? Now, we become so good at painting the pictures of our interpretations of what we think is occurring in our lives, that our inner palette is filled with our own imaginings. Now, just try to think of a canvas, okay? And you're painting all over that canvas, right? It's like in class, and we use what's called Blackboard Collaborate, similar to Zoom. And a lot of the students won't answer outward. Of course, it'll create chaos if they did. So I'll say, type onto this whiteboard, or write onto this whiteboard, what you think the answer is. And after a while, the whiteboard's filled up, okay? We do the same kind of thing with our own inner canvas, is that we fill it up with our own paintings, with our own interpretations of what is, happening in our lives, okay? And, this process of doing that, is filling that up with your own imaginings, is another interpretation of the scripture that says there's no room in the inn for the birth of the Christ child. You get what I'm saying? So if you're filling your own palate up with your own imaginings, there's no room for the birth of the Christ child. And, likewise, we often, in the same place, we leave no room on the canvas of our mind for God to paint us a different picture, telling a very different story of what we are divinely capable of, okay? So the purpose of the daily practice of prayer and meditation is to release or erase some of what we have painted on the canvas of our mind to make room for God to paint an image or two, right? In other words, give God some space to paint an image. And hopefully you can visualize what I'm saying, because I know, this leads to where my mind is always filled with all the things that I have to do and whatnot. But the time of prayer meditation is when you seek to become still. Now, as someone, we had a Buddhist monk who visited one time, says, the human mind never just goes blank, all right? But in that process of practicing in prayer meditation, you are making some room for God to paint a picture or two. And the purpose of Lent is not so much about letting go of eating something or drinking something or doing something on a physical level. And if you want to do those things, fine. If you want to change your diet, you're going to start exercising or whatever it is, okay, it doesn't hurt, and it may do some good for your health and overall well-being. However, as Paul said, because remember, we said, especially as true students, that's the way we used to think. But as Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13:11, when I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. But when I became an adult, I gave up childish ways. And there's a reason for that verse. So many of our practices and rituals do not really propel us to the next level of spiritual understanding, that we want to get to, that we say we want to get to. And in so many ways, we are still children dreaming about being spiritual when we grow up. All right? And that's what Paul was saying. And just before this verse, in 1 Corinthians 13:9, Paul said, "For our knowledge is imperfect, and our prophecy is imperfect, but when the perfect comes, the imperfect will pass away." The imperfect, of course, is our ego mind with all of its reasons and justifications about what is good and not good in our lives. So while the perfect is God, the one who is calling us to listen to divine guidance, divine inspiration, divine intuition, that's what we want to start listening to. We want to start listening to that perfect mind that's within us, calling to us. And we're going to get to it in a minute, more of how that's done. So, among some mystics in this intuitive experience, idea, they're calling this intuitive experience, the opportunity to listen deeper, okay? And the teaching that happens, they call it the teaching that happens on the inside. So the mystics are saying the intuitive experience is the teaching that happens on the inside. And these spiritual teachings that, we receive on the inside teach us about transcendental possibilities, meaning over a period of time, especially when practicing prayer, meditation, and spiritual contemplation over time, we begin to perceive possible ways of overcoming the trials and tribulations in our lives, ways we never thought about before, all right? And Paul shared an example of a transcendental experience, a possibility, when he said in Philippians 4:7, the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. Okay? Because our reason words will tell us why we need to be fearful in these times that we're going through right now. Okay? But our intuitive words, our intuitive mind, will give us the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, which means you're being peaceful in a situation, and when people say to you, how can you be peaceful? You really couldn't explain it, all right? When you can't explain it, that's when you have an intuitive experience. And again, when you have the this transcendent experience, no words can explain it. Why? Because in the spiritual state, all that you're aware of is a feeling of oneness. Not me and God, just God, in the form of faith or love or peace, whatever it is that you need at that time. So oneness is when you feel yourself at one with, you know, to say you're at one with God a lot of times doesn't mean anything to us, but when you say you're at one with peace, I think Pam last week was saying the one who had asked the question, just use the prayer, peace be still, okay? So that's creating a state of oneness, all right? Peace be still. You can understand that, you know? So always, the question is, how do I experience this intuitive state of mind, this state of oneness with God, okay? So now, let me just bring up this slide. All right, so the spiritual teacher, Hamid Ali, talks about this direct guidance from God as an experience of non-dual awareness. Now, non-duality is a state that can be experienced, but is impossible to put in words. Right now in our minds, we believe we are separate from everyone and everything else. There is me and you, them and us. It's probably the force behind the expression, you people are those people. But at a spiritual level of consciousness, we come to realize that we are not two, but one. When does this happen, or how does this happen? As soon as we stop identifying with our emotions and thoughts and the perceptions that separate us, we raise above the superficial sense of separateness and suddenly realize we are one. Okay? And I know, you know, those, when I put those slides up, they have a lot of words on them, but I think for some people, if you can read it while you're hearing it, it helps you to grasp it a little bit more. And not this idea, think about what he said, you know, it's not just one with each other, but one with the universal, omnipresent, omniscient consciousness that we call God. So yes, we're seeking this oneness with each other, but it's sort of a inner, inside, out process. When we feel this oneness with God, then we can feel a oneness with each other, okay? It is this state of oneness that we experience divine awakening and spiritual guidance through heightened intuition, okay? Now, her name is Nina Zimmerman. Yeah, Zimmerman, thank you, who has an exceptional intuitive capacity, right? And she tells us how she makes a distinction between spiritual guidance and intuition. All right, so this is what she says. When I use my intuition, I go to a place of wisdom and use this ability. But when I experience guidance, true wisdom comes to me. I don't go looking for it. It accesses me. I have to access intuition. And she can do that because she's an intuitive, right? She has the ability to do that. There is a difference in the feeling, the experience. I use my intuition like others use their thought patterns and brains. Often I work as a medical intuitive, and I go to this place in me that's wise, and from there I can experience more than the usual information. However, spiritual guidance accesses me. It is a different feeling. I don't initiate it. It is initiated by some embodiment of faith, of wisdom, that says, pay attention, all right? Intuition is just an ability I have. I use it. However, guidance uses me. Obviously, the greater wisdom that is my guidance is the greater part of me that is steering me into directions that I resist going to, okay? So I thought that that was a really good explanation, and having the slide up, if you go back and look at this again, you can read that in more detail. And this is a great explanation of, you know, all of us have intuitive abilities. Now, some may be more aware of their own intuitive abilities and use them than others, but we all have intuitive abilities. You will especially find yourself being very intuitive in those areas of your specialty or your experience, or in those things that you're passionate about, you know, or when it comes to your children or your loved ones, all right? I will find that, you know, things that I'm passionate about, I'm trying to figure out something, I can't figure it out, and all of a sudden in the middle of the night or sometimes it just comes to me, all right? That's that intuition, all right? And every one of you has experienced that. We all have experienced it, and a profound knowing that was undisputable and often unexplainable. So even though we may not have the reputation of Nina or other intuits like, you know, Carolyn Mays, some of you know Carolyn Mays, we are intuits in our own right, okay? But where intuition is something we may have consciously or unconsciously learned how to access to help us in our daily lives, people like Nina is explaining a spiritual experience we cannot access and use, all right? So we can get to the place like Nina or Carolyn Mays where we can sort of access our intuition, but she's talking about this other concept that we cannot access. All we can do is learn how to become still, surrender, and allow it to access and use us, okay? Now, again, in the meaning, you know, this comes back to the meaning. And notice how I keep expanding on the meanings of Bible verses that we know that are common to us. So what she is talking about is what's being talked about in Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God, okay? And this could be paraphrased as, be still and allow me to access your mind and guide you in ways you know not of, okay? Exodus 3:11 is an example of what Nina was referring to when she said, obviously, the greater wisdom that is my guidance is the greater part of me that is steering me into directions that I am resisting going to. Now, in the scripture written in Exodus, Moses says to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? See, he got this intuitive sense. You know, the burning bush, which is really a burning desire inside of himself, you know, to move forward, not really knowing what that's going to be. And then he gets this directive from God that, you know, he can't, he's like, he said, wait a minute, who am I that I can go to Pharaoh and bring the Egyptians, the Israelites out of Egypt? And in the scripture, Moses is reflecting what we experience when God requests our attention and points us in a direction that every fiber of our being may be resisting, okay? Listen to Moses in Exodus 4:1. But suppose they do not believe me. Has any of us ever said that, okay? Or in Exodus 6:30, since I'm a poor speaker, why would Pharaoh even listen to me, okay? And it's amazing that characters in the Bible that lived so long ago had the same challenges within them that we have in our lives today. It's because nothing much has changed. God is still being God, working to bring more love and more peace and more joy and more healing and more abundance and more meaning into our lives, okay? And God is working constantly to renew our minds, okay? So a lot of times when we're reading scripture, we got to understand that we're reading our own story. And for this to work, our part is to simply practice being still, so that God can work within us and through us. And so I'm going to leave you with this affirmation to think about, okay, as we go through the week. It says, I release any feelings of doubt, and I willingly align myself with God's plan for me. With faith, I follow God's guidance and expect wonderful results. And so it is, all right? Amen, and we will now have meditation with Pamela.
Find your comfortable place. placing your feet flat on the floor, placing your hands in your lap if you prefer, and gently closing your eyes. Breathe in and out deeply, fully inhaling and exhaling, allowing your body to become centered and balanced. Take this time to be in the presence of divine life within. As you turn within, you begin by letting go. Let go of any distracting thoughts in your mind. Let go of tension in your body. Let go of anything trying to disturb your peace. As you let go, you begin to experience your natural state of peace and joy in this present moment. You feel the release of any care or concern previously pressing you down. Let this gift of freedom fill your mind and your body. Every cell and every atom within are surrounded and enfolded by peace. Letting go allows the good that is always present to be experienced. You now allow yourself to feel the good of God within. Your good now unfolds into all areas of your life. Your good is established in your body, mind, and affairs. As within, so without. Nothing can keep your good from you. I now invite you to join me as we go forth to the secret place of the highest to be in communion with Spirit. As always, be sure to release and renew before entering, and allow yourself to be completely open to all possibilities. We are grateful, Holy Spirit, for answered prayers today. And now, as we bring this time of meditation to a close, we continue to let go and allow your natural state of good to unfold in every way, moment by moment, in your life. And you remember that the Unity Center of Light is always here for you. At this time, I would like to share a prayer for us all. So please listen. May the Lord bless us and give us inner strength. May we overcome temptations by the compelling love of God. May we be renewed with hope and be assured by the grace of God. May we be transformed inside and out by God's overwhelming mercy. In the name and nature of our elder brother and way-shower, Jesus the Christ, we do give thanks. And so it is. Amen. And when you're ready, come back to your space.
Wonderful. Thank you. So this is a time we open our hearts and minds to allow some of the treasure that flows into our personal lives to flow into our spiritual home. And as always, we take this time to thank all of you for the many gifts and offerings you've been sending to continue Unity Center of Light in these very interesting times. It's almost like we can't call them unusual anymore because they've been usual for so long. But again, we thank you so much for all those offerings. And together, let's bless our offerings. We bless and give thanks for these tithes and offerings
as they go forth to continue the healing, loving work being done through the Unity Center of Light.
Amen. And so it is. And you have light notes?
Yes. I have light notes for today, Sunday, February the 21st. The first one is keeping the high watch prayer call in the afternoons continues through March, Monday to Friday at 4 p.m. Join us to take a 15-minute prayer pause. Together we go within and reconnect with Spirit and one another. Please check your updates for the link. Please mark your calendars for our rescheduled annual meeting. It was postponed from this month to April 25th at 1 p.m. Remember that the meeting is open to everyone, but only members may vote. And the Lent Booklet Study Group with April continues each Wednesday through March 31st at 7 p.m. Check the e-newsletter for the link to the class. Yes.
All right. So we are going to bless the path we walk.
Yes. Mm-hmm. We're going to bless the path that we will walk this week. We're going to say our affirmation with passion, zeal, and gusto together. Mm-hmm. I go forward in the Spirit of the Lord, knowing my way is made easy, joyous, healthy, and prosperous, and I am grateful.
All right, let's go right into our prayer for protection. Together.
The light of God surrounds us. The love of God enfolds us. The power of God protects us. The presence of God watches over us. Wherever we are, God is, and all is well. And that's the truth.
All right, well, it's been wonderful bringing you this service today. We both had fun sharing this with you. And again, we look forward to seeing you in Zoom. Otherwise, have a wonderful week. Stay warm.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.